Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. We are still doing these things from home, so, here we go. We're going to make the best of it, and I think we have a really good show because the first group back on the ice is going to be West Coast. They're going to have their Tier 1 tryouts. We've got their headmaster, Dave Amani, and then we've got one of their main coaches, and Evan Stoffel, who you guys all know Evan. Evan's a frequent guest on the show and almost basically a co-host. So, Dave, Evan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back, as always.
So, Dave, I want to talk to you a little bit first about did this cost you guys the end of your season?
So, we were actually about 12 hours away from departure to Phoenix for our regional tournament, the Rocky Mountain District, and people were kind of, a few of the parents were speculating, oh, you know, maybe the trip's going to be canceled, the tournament will be canceled. I said, no way, like, it's not going to happen, you know, whatever. I mean, they're not going to cancel it over this, and sure enough, about 3 hours later, they canceled it. So, this was right, like, when everything started kind of boiling over a little bit, so, bad timing. I know the Pacific District got to have their regionals the week prior, but ours was a week later, so we missed out. And I mean, it was a disappointment because I think we had, you know, a chance to have some success. I mean, I'm realistic and knew that we probably wouldn't advance out of there, but we would have at least been competitive. We had a pretty good group last year.
Well, and is that an opportunity for a lot of your guys to, get exposure, right? Because Tier 1, you're trying to get your guys into the USHL and the NA, get them scouted by colleges. So, your guys lost out on that opportunity too, right?
Sure. Like last year or the previous year at regionals, there was probably 10 Western Hockey League teams there watching, a handful of D1 teams, like NHL teams were even there watching. So,
we talked to you a little bit about this at the end of the season. I mean, it came down hard on you because you were in France, right?
Yep.
And
right on the border of Italy too. So I was 3 hours from like ground zero.
Man, so you almost got stuck there.
I did. I had, after the president had his press conference and it wasn't quite clear that we could still get back, where it sounded like they were shutting the border off that Friday at midnight, it went into panic mode to get flights and everything. And once we realized we could get in after, ended up getting a flight for the following Monday out. And I think 2 days after is when France kind of shut everything down. So I was under 48 hours from being stuck there, where I'd probably just be getting back, you know, about now, which would not have been ideal.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, for me, I've lived through other pandemics, right, or epidemics. And so as a fireman, I've lived through H1N1 and, you know, whatever the other ones were. And it was like, okay, here we go. And we're going to have to start taking everybody's temperatures again. And, I was at Bruno Mars. Like that night, there was rumor that they were going to – I was in Las Vegas, and there was rumors that they were going to cancel it, because that was the same night that the Utah Jazz had their cancellation in Houston. And my only thought was, there's no way they're going to cancel, like, Bruno Mars, because this is huge. Yeah. And we actually got to go, but there was like that – it was just in the atmosphere that there was something else going on. And it was an amazing show. We were lucky we got to go. And then the next night they canceled it. And they canceled everything else from there on out. And it was, I mean, obviously nobody in our generation has lived through anything like this. And it's pretty amazing the precautions we've taken. And, you know, the saying is, you'll never know if you overreacted, but it's easy to know if you underreacted. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to believe that we've done the right thing, and it's sucked for, you know, hockey seasons, and we're still trying to figure out if the NHL is going to finish and how much of, if they finish this season, is that going to cost us next season? So Speaking of next season, you guys are first up. I mean, ice is barely open back up. Most people, I mean, for us, it was almost like an Ocean's 11 thing last week. Cause we were like, all right, we have ice, but you have to use the code word stick and puck. You know what I mean? It was like, so things are just barely starting to get back going. And because you guys are Tier 1, you have to be the first up. So, Dave, how do you handle safety of everybody and trying not to spread the virus with running a tier one program and getting players on your team. And where did you find the players? Did you have much scouting done?
Yeah, so first of all, for the tryouts, we Ogden's hosting them because Weber County is a little bit more lax than Salt Lake County right now. We are required to have no more than 50 people in the building, which is basically players, coaches, and staff. It's unfortunate that parents won't be able to really watch, but I guess it is what it is, and it's better than nothing right now.
It's kind of better that way to me.
Yeah, I didn't say it. But, you know, it's we're grateful just to be able to have them to get some kids some opportunities, especially local kids, the opportunity to you know, show what they have. We have to have health screenings prior to the tryout starting, so we have a CNA on site that will be doing temperatures and health screenings and all that good stuff. I mean, nothing really too crazy with that. I mean, if anyone has a temperature over 100 degrees or something like that, they won't let them in. Other than that, in terms of where we've been able to fill our rosters from this year, I mean, we've had a lot of success recruiting from out of the area. I think every team in the country is basically the same holding pattern. A lot of the teams from California and Colorado aren't even having tryouts until August, September. Or late August, early September, we've been told. So hopefully, being first ones to the table or one of the first ones to the table, we get maybe people that are a little more eager to know what they're doing in the fall. John Pushkar is our head coach for the 18s and 16s, and he's been working his butt off trying to assemble a team like not only the organization, but the state hasn't seen in a long time, if ever. He's relentless with it.
What does that mean exactly? Is he just scouting all his old contacts and bringing players in from other regions?
John is turning over rocks wherever he can, and he has done a tremendous job, getting interest from kids that might not have otherwise. We've got a kid coming in from Washington, D.C., bunch of kids from California. There should be five or six at the tryout this weekend even, which is rare. People from out of state usually don't come to the tryouts just because they felt it was beneath them in the past, but now they're eager to get back on the ice.
Well, you guys have really stepped up. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I do that all the time, so I hope you're ready for it. You guys have really stepped up your coaching, and I'm not saying anything negative about the coaches you had before, but to bring on Stofflet and to bring on Push, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, that's great for your organization.
So when McClellan ran into some visa issues last year, I mean, Max, my best friend, or one of my best friends.
Yeah.
I was pretty crushed when that happened. But and we basically had no – it was either I took over the team or the team folded, basically. I have no desire to be a hockey coach forever. Or at a high level. I mean, I just have too many other things on the go. But so John kind of came out of the woodworks and stepped up in a huge way and really helped me a ton last year. And the whole goal was to turn over the head coaching position to him. And then Evan, I've talked to him. I mean, he helped us in between teams last year when he was looking for a club to play with. And he helped us out and really stepped up to the plate and did a great job. And I think he's gonna do really, really well at that 14s level where they are kind of raw and moldable. I think the whole goal I've had for a few years with the organization since I took over is to clean up the messes and to get some new blood, some hungry blood in. And the former Grizzlies players are a tremendous asset to youth hockey in the area because a lot of them, like you said before, come out and they like it and want to stay. And John, having played, D1 college hockey, playing East Coast League, USHL, North American League, pretty much every level, and he made it to those levels. I don't want to say not based on his skill, but primarily on his work ethic, and the skill kind of, helped out a little bit. I mean, he wasn't pretty, but he got it done.
Yeah.
And had tons of energy doing it, and he has – similar fire with his coaching. You should check out the score sheets from a few of the games last year, and you'll know. But he, yeah, no, he's done a good job with the recruiting so far. We've got Carson White coming back from Colorado, which in the past we really struggled once we lost a kid to Colorado. They never even considered coming back. So Carson came back. We got a few of like higher end Colorado natives coming in, which is unheard of for us. So, yeah, I mean, things are going in the right direction. On Evan's team, he's got a couple kids from England that are top 07 birth years in their country coming in, which is, you know, pretty young, but I mean, you know, they're supposed to be pretty good players. So we'll see.
That's really cool. All right. So you guys have those tryouts. Are there tryouts that we can help promote for you right now? Is there stuff that we can help you promote?
This weekend we are, we're having our tryouts Friday through Sunday. You can register online. It's not, I mean, you can also do it in person if you want, but pre-registration is appreciated, especially with the extra steps required to get in the building and, you know, to screen people prior. But yeah, no, I mean, we have spots open on every single team, even though we've done a lot of pre-recruiting, nothing's set in stone. And you know, we're always open to good players and have a soft spot for local players because, you know, obviously the goal is to keep all the players that are capable of playing at a high level within the state and, to have Utah Hockey benefit as much as possible, as opposed to letting someone else have all the glory of developing them. So,
right. So what's, if people want to register, how are they going to get a hold of you to, like, what's the website?
WestCoastRenegades.com. First tryout, and go to our social media too, and we'll have all the tryout times on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole nine yards. Yeah, so I think you should be able to register there, and hope to see everyone there.
All right, cool. And then one of the unique things, well, for you guys is the barn. Yeah. You guys have the Park City, it's up in Park City. You guys have your own ice facility. It's not a full size sheet, but it's a good enough that you could easily do 3-on-3.
100 by 50.
Yeah. And that's what NHL guys are going to now. There a lot of NHL guys are getting their own. I know Zach Parise has his own little place that he and I can't remember all the guys that go, but I know in the past it's been like him, Taves, Drew Stafford, and then obviously Jordan, those guys. The 3-on-3 is a real good thing for developing guys and that's how they all stick handle in a phone booth now.
Absolutely.
And so the facility you guys have, and Evan, maybe you can touch on this because this is your, this is kind of your second thing for West Coast, is you guys do individual training up there as well. And that's something that's available. So Evan, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on up there?
So the barn's, it's a pretty cool little facility, obviously extremely unique, not just in Utah, but there's not many, you know, youth organizations that have their own ice to go and skate at. And the cool thing about it being so small is you can really pinpoint on, you know, small skills and little things that you can't, not that you can't do it on a big ice, but it makes it a lot harder, especially with, if you're trying to do stuff at like a stick and puck where there could be upwards of, you know, 20 other people on the ice and there, you know, there's some guy in there in jean shorts hammering pucks around the boards and, you know, there's four nets on one side and pucks are flying every which way. And then there's little kids that are skating around. And, you know, it's one of those places where you can go and actually really work on your game, make a difference, be able to interact in a different way, because it's just me and, you know, 1, 2, 3 up to 5 kids, working on skills and bouncing off each other. And, you know, you can get so much out of it because it's, when you go in that place, it's, you know, that it's about hockey and it's about getting better and having a good time while you're doing it. And it's a resource that is, it's pretty crazy to have at your fingertips. And just for me being a coach, but also for just the hockey players around here, because usually you don't have something that accessible to you. And it's pretty exciting, to be honest with you.
Yeah. When I first heard about it, I think it was last year, maybe even the year before, and I heard about it, I was like, man, it's like a dream come true.
And it really is.
Yeah. For me, for every hockey player here, we all want that in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the one thing I used to always tell my wife that, when I was finished with my fire career, I wanted to move back to North Dakota, Minnesota. And I never could figure out why, but I think that's why, is because you have the ability to have that rink in your backyard or whatever. And we just don't have that here. So, So for you guys to do it, I mean, it's amazing. It's a huge step forward for hockey here. But anyway, when you see a kid, when you coach him at a game and you say, man, if that kid could just figure this part of his game out, he'd be that much better. I think Evan's frozen again. Nope. Okay. And now the ability to have that, the barn, and to go out the next day and fix that little glitch or teach the kid a little bit more. I mean, that's just an amazing tool to have to, you know, really build up a player and to make that player that much better. I mean, that's just, it's just amazing. And like I said, for everybody that's a hockey player, that's a dream come true. We all want a sheet in our backyard, and it's hard to have unless, you know, you're in North Dakota where it's 40 below forever. You know, my paramedic partner used to always build his rink, and he'd get in his backyard up in Camas, and he'd get like 3 months out of a year where he could actually use it. But
yeah, it's, I think it's like about $3,000 a month to keep it cool right now.
Jeez. So
it's expensive. But I mean, it's something that we're trying to make available only to coaches within our organization for, you know, small group things with our players, or with their own private lessons. But I mean, yeah, the facility is, I mean, I got pro guys that want to come use it.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I want to come use it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean,
I'd love to just set up 3-on-3 and go up there with my beer league team and use it. So I'm sure everybody wants to use it.
It's, and it's, it, the ice is good. I mean, it's cold, hard and fast. And I mean, got a little Zamboni and everything.
Yeah. Pushkar showed that on his Facebook the other day, or his Instagram, whatever I follow him on. He was like showing the little tractor Zamboni going around. Awesome.
But no, the Durso family is on their private property. They've got horses on the other side and the rink on one side. So it's you know, we're very fortunate that they share it with us, because I mean, obviously being on, you know, at their home, they're not required to, but they make it available to us because they want to see our players get the extra, you know, benefit, as well as our coaches have them have the ability to share their knowledge a little bit more and you know, supplement their income at the same time.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Well, anything else you guys want to add to the episode? I want to hear opportunities for guys to try out. Evan, do you have like a website or anything for your private lessons or anything yet?
I don't have a website yet, but I have an email, es801hockey@protonmail.com.
Okay.
Shoot me an email whenever you want some lessons. I'm capping it at 5 kids per session. Don't want it too big, obviously, beyond the space constraints, but I just want to be able to actually, you know, dig in and fix those little things where it might just be opening your hips up when you pivot, or just little things like that, where if when you stop the drill, you're not really wasting time because there's not a big reset. You don't have to go to multiple parts on the ice to tell people about it. And it's, so it'll be capped off at 5 per hour. And, you know, I look forward to it. I've enjoyed working with the kids a lot more than I thought I did would last year when I was helping with the U16s, and then with Greg Lieb, like I do every summer. And, you know, I look forward to even being able to dig in even more and hopefully help these kids if they want to have, you know, the experiences that I've had with hockey, traveling literally all over the globe. You know, if I can be a stepping stone with that, then perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Well, I will add those links to our website. I'll make sure that gets done this time. I'll have the West Coast link in there. I'll have Evan's link in there. And guys, I'm excited that we get to go forward. I'm excited to see what you guys put on the ice this year. I know you guys have done amazing things. This organization is really starting to do what Dave said he's going to do the whole time. I mean, you guys, every year it's like a step forward. Exactly. And so I get excited every year to see it. And I'm not a religious guy, but I'm praying, or I'm hippie vibing, whatever it is, that we get to have a full season and that nothing interrupts this and that we get to see some really good hockey this year. So, guys, thanks so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
All right.
And that's it for the Utah Puck Report.
brother.